right, this is Pure Decking for Thursday, March the 16th, 2017. We survived the Ides of March, or at least most of us did. I haven't seen Big in a while. This is the show about stuff that interests me, like how cyberpunk the world has gone, information security, and making really bad jokes about the Ides of March, knowing that nobody's going to get it or care. I'm Morps, and tonight, who we got? We got BSV. I played the music early. There, we got BSV. Standing on top of his tower, cackling. Whatever it is. What are you drinking?
Just some angry urchin.
Cool.
I'm a creature of habit.
Cool. You should try mixing a couple shots of Fireball in with a glass of Angry Orchard. That's actually not that bad. RU-486.
Smoke weed.
Yes. Hardly my fucking catch cry right there. Generate fucking potheads. I'm drinking your last glass of sobriety. I've been sober for 4 days now.
It's going to get weirder from there, don't worry. Because I'm just going with the sounds I had on the soundboard.
Yeah. No, I'm drinking sobriety.
So, Madman.
Testicular cancer.
There we go. That's not the reason I quit drinking.
What are you drinking, Madman?
Friends, Romans, countrymen, lend me your ears, and I've got a cappuccino oatmeal stout from Blue Moon.
Fancy. So,
when do we exactly the sponsorship dollars roll in for this?
Yeah, that should have happened like 2 years ago at this point, I think. So, and
got this
finally,
for you, Madman.
Finally, for are you? Or wait, I already said are you? Wait, what did I do? Shit,
Suave, you're up to Suave.
Suave.
Na 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 na. Sard.
That's the one. Suave.
Starts with an S. Whatever. Yeah, I'm drinking some Captain Morgan's White Spiced Rum.
Oh.
He wasn't, you know, forgetting you because you're white. He was forgetting you because you're Canadian.
I was a little surprised by this post, by this 4chan link of heroic artist gets Make America Great Again tattooed around his anus. In the picture, my God, I feel sorry for that tattoo artist.
Look closely at the picture.
Well, you've got the tattoo artist there. I guess she looks like she's looking at a screen or something, and all kinds of people taking photos.
That Asian guy looks really interested.
Yeah, I know. It's a bizarre picture. The more you look at it, the more you find.
Well, I mean, at first I thought she's sitting there going, oh, God, I don't want to look at this. But maybe she's got, you know, something like a lens or a TV screen.
Okay,
or something.
So just look at the tattoo imagery on the guy to start with.
Okay, he's got the wings on his back. He's got
that's general representation from what I understand is cuts, like biker cuts.
Yeah.
So, wonder Aryan Nation Brotherhood, something like that. Gonna make the anal rape a little bit more gentle, especially if you're in the white power movement.
That's
everyone knows they rape you more gently whenever you're a Klansman.
You never know. I just thought it was a really interesting picture.
Very distracting. Anyways, yeah, just as a side note, the broadcast box has apparently developed bad wiring, and so if the audio just, like, cuts out in the middle of us talking, I need to go over and smack it. So anybody in the IRC, just let us know if it goes silent, and we'll have to figure out where. I'll try to keep an eye on it, too. So this article thing I want to talk about is pretty shitty, actually. University of California, Berkeley will cut off public access to tens of thousands of video lectures and podcasts in response to a U.S. Department of Justice, U.S. Justice Department order that it makes the educational content accessible to people with disabilities. Today, the content is available to the public on YouTube, iTunes U, and the University's Berkeley webcast.berkeley site. On March the 15th, so yesterday, because this article is a week old, the university will begin removing more than 20,000 audio and video files from those platforms, a process that will take 3 to 5 months and require users to sign in with University of California credentials to view or listen to them. They still offer massive open online courses on edX and said it plans to create new public content that is accessible to listeners or viewers with disabilities. So here's, and they go on talking about it. Move will partially address recent findings by the Department of Justice, which suggests YouTube and iTunes U content meet higher accessibility standards. So pretty much what's happening here is Berkeley got sued by a couple of people under, you know, the Americans with Disabilities Act for not making their free content accessible. Now, Berkeley was basically putting this shit up on YouTube, right? It's free lectures, courses, and I don't really want to get into, I mean, it's Berkeley, so the, you know, you could possibly get into some of the politics of it, but free education online is a good thing. And, you know, having a law which was always billed as, oh, we're trying to make things more accessible, is actually because Berkeley is already cutting how much they were posting online for free because of budgetary reasons. I mean, they had to, the Justice Department had to know that, look, either the university is going to have to pay to have all this stuff transcribed so they can do subtitles and make it accessible to people who are blind and deaf, or they're going to have to just take it down to be compliant because you can't have content. And you know, when I used to work at a school, we ran into this crap too, where we had videos on websites that we didn't make, but we had one lawsuit saying we had to have this crap on a website. We had another lawsuit saying it had to be accessible or it had to be taken down. So you can't really win, because it was a DMCA shit, right? It was like, oh no, if you don't advertise the anti DMCA website or the anti piracy websites, we might sue you. So the school legal counsel says just put it up there, and then the we get in trouble for not putting up shit for that's accessible because the people who gave us the video didn't put subtitles on it. It's just like, what do you do? All right, go ahead. Somebody wanted to cut in on what I'm talking about.
How in any way is this not disabled friendly?
My understanding was it didn't have subtitles.
I feel like that's not a bad thing for an educational system institute to like strive towards. But at the same time, I don't think that they should be like shut the fuck down because they don't have it.
You shouldn't burn a library just because they. The books aren't in Braille.
Yeah, exactly.
The U.S. Justice Department, following an investigation in August, determined that the university was violating the Americans with Disabilities Act of 1990. The department reached that conclusion after receiving complaints from two employees of Gallaudet University saying Berkeley's free online educational content was inaccessible to blind and deaf people because of the lack of captions, screen reader compatibility, and other issues.
So that is complete
bullshit.
You're
saying a competitor university complained that they're free, their competitors doing something free.
They were posting free YouTube videos, but because they're a university, they got nailed under the Disability Act. So here's the thing.
Can I interject here quickly? Because this is really pissing me off, because you're on something that I've been passionate with, you know, for the last 10 years of my life, which is disability advocacy.
Uh-huh.
For those who struggle, it's complete fucking horse shit if you're blind that you can't access anything on the internet. Braille readers and screen readers today are the most phenomenal things out there. If you can't afford them, you can pirate them. I know of at least 6 completely blind from fucking birth guys who are 10 times better than me with computers, right? Who run their own radio stations from scratch.
I've seen a number of Ask Reddits and stuff like that about people who are blind and like browsing Reddit and doing all these responses and stuff like that. They explained in detail how it works. And like, honestly, like they are sometimes faster than us because they're, like, they're not scanning around a page. Like, often they'll, like, memorize, like, how many steps back they were and stuff like that, and they can just kind of, like, hop around real quick. So they kind of build this, like, mental map in their head after visiting a website. And, like, that just, like, the text-to-speech and stuff like that is absolutely amazing.
I don't want to run afoul of but that's just one little group of people. We've got to do it for all. No, fuck it. They're empowered. I'm not going to tear them down because you're fucking too lazy to build yourself up or put a network in around you to build yourself up. That's bullshit. I've spent a lot of time telling people with disability, fuck off, you can do it. Stop being a pussy.
So here's and here's the thing, because like I said, I've dealt with this a little bit on the side, not anywhere near the level that RU has, for example. I don't want to knock anybody with a disability. I don't think that's the problem here. I think the problem is that somebody took it to the courts and is getting this content pulled because where was the quote in the article that actually explained it? Here we go. The department ordered the university to make content accessible to people with disabilities. Berkeley publicly floated an alternative, removing everything from public view. In many cases, the requirements proposed by the department would require the university to implement extremely expensive measures to continue making these resources available to the public for free, Koshland wrote in a September 20th statement. We believe that in a time of substantial budget deficits and shrinking state financial support, our first obligation is to use our limited resources to support our enrolled students. Therefore, we must strongly consider the unenviable option of whether or not to remove content from public access. So they are obviously doing that.
How about putting a disclaimer? This is not complete fucking works. If you would like complete works, please enroll with Berkeley.
The problem here is not anybody with a disability. The problem is the fucking law where, it's not accessible, so they have to take it down because they can't afford to get it all transcribed and subtitled and everything else you would have to do. And although if you're blind, I would imagine that the audio is the most important part of most of these lectures. But if you're deaf and it's not subtitled, although YouTube has an automatic subtitling system.
It's still almost infuriating.
This is fucking infuriating, Morps.
Sorry.
Okay, how big is fucking Berkeley? How many students?
I don't know. They're big.
They're one of the largest.
So there's no
They wanted to, they could easily pay to do that. Like I'm not talking about paying.
Why is there no advocacy group inside there working within there to fucking bring it up to standard? Why can't they put this on their own fucking people? Right, you want to make a change, let's fucking make a change. And you know what that takes? It's fucking, you have to put the work in. It's not standing out there holding a sign, fucking protesting, tear it down because it doesn't meet my fucking standards. It doesn't meet your standards, get in and make it meet your fucking standards. This is bullshit. And if you think you can't make fun of a person with fucking disabilities, you're fucking so far wrong. Because you know what? They are making the absolute piss out of you constantly. Blind people, deaf people, they fucking hate you. They laugh behind your back. They think you're a fucking joke, man. These people are not special. Yeah, no, I'm just saying, like, this article is painting them out as being some special fucking individual. Yes, they've been fucking had a terrible thing happen, but does that grant them special treatment? Fuck no, because they're just as good as you and me. I have my limitations, they have their limitations. My limitations just aren't as openly seen to the rest of the fucking public. You know what I mean? This is bullshit.
The issue with it being taken down, it's that a lot of these lectures, it wasn't Berkeley wanting to put them up. It's just the professor had a webcam. It's like, man, I can do this for free and give all these people an education and just post what I'm already getting paid to post. So a lot of this isn't official Berkeley University or any university. It's just the professor doing it.
Yeah, and the two people that bought this lawsuit, I'd like to know their names. Is it in the article?
Yeah, I think it was.
Yeah,
actually.
Thank you. Can you link them through to me, please? They've just become a special project of mine. fuck them. Fuck them, because I guarantee hundreds of thousands of people who are disabled in the United States plus all around the world who use that access have had it taken away because these two special fucking individuals decided to take advantage of loopholes in the law to just fuck with, you know, free education. It's fucking free. If I was paying for it, yes, I want the goddamn subtitles. I want the Braille fucking book. But if it's fucking free, I'm taking what I can get.
That's the part about this that pisses me off.
If I'm paying for a whore and I'm paying $300, I want to bet I'm getting a blowjob and a fuck. If I'm just taking some ugly bitch out for dinner, I'm paying $300. I'm not guaranteed anything, am I? I'm enrolling with a whore, I'm guaranteed to get. If I'm just fucking taking some cunt out, it's free. You know, you never know what you're getting.
So that
made no
that's
sense.
That's the part
but
that pisses me off about this is that they're just throwing it out there for free. It's like, oh, here it is, here you go. Anything else that you put out there for free, there's no guarantees on, right?
Exactly.
I mean, they're just going after. One of them was Stacey Nowak, one of the complainants referred comments to the Justice Department and National Association for the Deaf. National Association for the Deaf did not immediately respond to requests for comments. They only listed one of them. They didn't list the other. But it's crazy because they're requiring the university to meet a standard that nobody else putting up free content on YouTube is being required to meet.
Yeah.
So, but laws interfering with shit online is kind of the theme tonight. So, however, the University of Berkeley has started to delete these lectures. However, because they pre-announced it, a few people grabbed as many of them as they could.
Good for them.
Including a new service that I wasn't aware of until I saw the article. 200,000 word class university lectures were made illegal, so we irrevocably mirrored them. So what they did?
Oh, you fucking cunt!
Was
the fucking accounts are all like fucking? You can't comment. You can't even fucking look at. It, so they can be protected.
Of course,
from hate speech.
They're special snowflakes. They can't take criticism. So here's the thing: this lbry.io is. I didn't know about it until today. It's a new app that is kind of a combination of a BitTorrent sync or maybe even more like a private file sharing thing you had us playing with a couple years ago, Suave. Do you remember what it was called?
Oh.
Not Tox.
Yeah, I remember what you're talking about, but I can't remember now.
So it's RetroShare. Yes, thank you, Cyclops.
Yeah,
God, he remembers that. Dude, that's creepy. Anyways, never mind. So,
Galaxy 15 walking wiki.
God,
I'm sorry, man. This article
he's gonna remember like
off,
random. Now that here's the question: does he remember like random jokes I made 3 years ago on like episode 50 or something? Anyways, he swears he's not an AI. Good to know. Today, University of California at Berkeley has deleted 20,000 college lectures from its YouTube channel. Berkeley removed the videos because of a lawsuit brought by two students from another university under the Americans with Disabilities Act. So the people who put together LBRY copied all of them. And they're setting it up on a free library. Or a free, I guess they call it a site or a domain. So you can go to Berkeley or LBRY:// UC Berkeley. On the LBRY app, which is still like an open beta, so you kind of have to hit the API and go through the command line if you want to get entered to it or sign up for an invite. But it's an interesting platform because it's like they've tried to combine a cryptocurrency, a file share system, and a domain space with the idea that if you want to put stuff up for free, it goes up. If you want to, if you want to get paid for putting content up, it goes up. But it also does it looks like it does the whole freenet thing where it copies chunks out to different people running nodes kind of thing. So I'm still a little fuzzy on how it works because I was literally researching it like 10 minutes before the show started. So I may have to pull this down and play with it because it looks like a interesting content system. But they said the full catalog is 4 terabyte, and they're syncing it out over the next couple of days. But if you have access to LBRY, you can go to the UC Berkeley name and it might have something in common with distributed hash, maybe. I'm not certain. But so apparently it's legal because most of the lectures were under Creative Commons licenses, so
it's not commercial. They're just cloning it and putting it out there. I'm kind of surprised these didn't get put up on archive.org as well. But so they think it's legal under the First Amendment, and they think it's good content for their system. So it's not that this stuff is going away. You just might have to hop on this weird cryptocurrency file sharing app to get
them. You have to look for it instead of it being there on YouTube where everyone's already going to look at free videos.
Does the Wayback Machine archive YouTube videos? No.
No.
Oh, God,
They don't do much media at all. I don't even know if they do a lot of images, do they?
No, because the Wayback Machine, half the images don't work.
Yeah, think of how much storage that would take. The cat videos alone.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure for media they just hotlink or something, don't they?
Yeah, a lot of it they do. I think you're right. So I don't know. I kind of figure some of this stuff would have made its way to archive.org, but it looks like they're gonna use it for this LBRY app to kind of promote it, which that's fine. I get that, but I'm sure somebody's eventually gonna pull all 4 terabytes of it down and either make a torrent or put it up on archive.org or something. So. But yeah, it's just really disappointing to see all that stuff getting yanked down over such a silly thing. And basically, you're blaming people with disabilities for the free content getting taken down. So that's...
Oh no, we're blaming one cunt. Are you? What is the cunt's name?
AC no cunt.
You know, like it does sound kind of shady though, considering it's from a different university. That seems like maybe they were put up to it or something like that.
I don't know. I know that the Americans with Disabilities Act, from when I was working at a university, that stuff comes around to bite you because you don't really think about it. And then they'll find, you know, somebody will find something on your website that's like buried under 13 pages of links and has the wrong theme because nobody's updated it in 6 years. And like, oh, this video has to have subtitles. Well, we don't actually host that video. That's just linked off of some YouTube page. You need to go to the people who host the video. No, you're a university. You have to provide subtitles. So 9 times out of 10, we take the video down. Because it's like, nobody's got the budget to subtitle it, and nobody's got the time, so...
This isn't her first fucking rodeo into the court system either. She's got 10 other cases fucking pending. Into getting shit taken down under the Disabilities Act.
So, RU sent me this next article. It's still kind of on the same venue here of shit getting yanked off the internet because stupid laws. So, anyways, this is from the BBC. Social media firms in Germany could face a fine of up to 50 million euros if they take too long to remove illegal content, including fake news. Because I don't know who's going to define fake news. Anyways, Germany's justice minister has drafted a law that seeks to impose the fines as part of an effort to police toxic chat. Dear God. Heiko Maas said the... I said that name totally wrong, didn't I?
No. Heiko Maas.
His name is
now
Heiko Maas.
A poetry and a religious experience combined.
Said the voluntary effort of social networks to tackle the problem has not gone far enough. The proposal requires sites to run 24-hour helplines and to delete flagged content within 7 days. Social media firms such as Twitter and Facebook were getting better at handling illegal content, says Mr. Maas, but both have a long way to go. He quoted research suggesting that Twitter only deletes 1% of the hate speech it's told about by its users, and Facebook gets 39%. This isn't sufficient yet. Racism and hate speech are believed to have become more prevalent on German social media following the arrival of large numbers of refugees in Germany, because that wasn't predictable at all. Anyway, any content that was clearly criminal would have to be removed within 24 hours under conditions outlined in the draft law. If, after an investigation, content is found to be criminal, then it must be removed within 7 days. If the people who posted the illegal content must also be told about its deletion, you know, so they can immediately repost it somewhere else, I guess.
No, so post it right back on the same damn site.
It's like, yep, we're writing a Python script for this. Every 24 hours, this post is going right back up.
Oh god, it's gonna be 4chan on Facebook.
The proposed law would require each network to run fully staffed, round-the-clock reporting systems and to name an individual responsible for handling complaints. Wow. We want someone to hit with the VIP. That person could face an individually leveled fine of 5 million euros if companies break laws governing what could be published. If I was Twitter or Facebook, I'd be like, yep, we're just going to ban anyone from Germany. Sorry about that. But your government's nuts.
Oh, no. What you do is you don't have your servers in Germany, and then you just let Germany put up its own fucking firewall. I'm sorry. I'm not in your country. Suck my balls, bitch.
Yep. Mr. Moss said the law could apply to fake news articles if they proved to be slanderous, defamatory, or libelous. Facebook did not comment directly on the proposal, but said tests it commissioned showed that it removed a higher percentage of illegal content than Mr. Moss claimed. The social network said it expected to have 700 people employed in Berlin by the end of 2017, overseeing its efforts to review flagged content. 700 people? There, I guess that's your jobs program right there. I mean, God, that would be a it'd be like that article we read that you remember I misinterpreted it at first about the Microsoft employees who have to go through all the reported content.
Oh yeah,
they
have to look horrible.
These people are going to have to, you know, it's going to be the combination Facebook comment review and suicide hotline. German German Digital Trade Association. Bitcom criticized the proposed law. It told Financial Times that the requirement to remove material within 24 hours on sites that handle more than 1 billion posts per day was utterly impossible to implement in operational terms. I believe that. I mean, yeah, the performance metrics they'll have to keep up with, as well as, you know, not killing themselves. It's like, you must read 1,500 horrible posts every hour or you will be fined 5 million euros. I'm sorry, I just imagined them all talking like that for some reason.
Like, how many times has Milo been told to set himself on fire now?
Oh, no, he's not allowed to report that. See, he's not with the program, so any attacks against him are not illegal. Those are justified.
Well, I know you're supposed to set fags on fire, at least in Britain, but still.
Oh, in Canada, too.
You can light fags on fire in Canada, too?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know they were called
Dan
fags
Mar-U
there,
is
too.
Pissed off. Mar-U is pissed off. He's like,
oh,
finding out where that shit, finding out where she lives and shit. Damn, dude. Oh, you got her Skype name.
And
Starry
a
Mountains.
Gmail
address,
phone number.
So, I have a very serious question. If she's deaf, why does she have a Skype account?
Lip reading.
You can still do text chat.
Yeah, lip reading.
Yeah, okay, text chat. I didn't think about that. I'm just thinking, what's the point of having a voice chat system if you can't hear?
Technically, she doesn't have to be disabled to complain.
You know, I wonder if Skype has a TTS ability or
probably
something.
Probably does.
For the disabled. I bet you there is. You know, like I know phone systems have stuff like that.
It probably does. Like, that's not my thing.
Well, I didn't mean to get your blood boiling that badly, are you?
Oh,
I just thought it was horse shit that these files were getting yanked.
Yeah, no, I like my free libraries. I don't care how ratty the books are. And knowledge is free no matter what content it comes in, as long as it's correct.
And that brings us to the fake news. How are they defining fake news? Because you can be going with the facts you have at the time and then amend them so long as it's in good faith.
Hold on.
Like,
I don't think
Hillary Clinton, it's fake news.
I'm quite certain that nobody who drafted any of these laws and none of the wording of the laws ever mentions fake news. Like he's basically saying any content that is clearly criminal. And libel is criminal. Therefore, if there's a news article that is libelous, it is criminal.
I don't know.
So, like, this is kind of shitty reporting by the BBC, and they want to use their buzzword of fake news because everybody's fucking talking about fake news, and it's such a politically charged term. But really, like, I personally don't think it's all that unreasonable to expect a company to remove clearly illegal content. Like, I just read an article here the other day that was talking about, like, people finding, like, groups sharing, like, underage fucking pornography and shit like that on Facebook. And, like, I feel like there should be, like, reasonable options to have that shit addressed.
Yeah, and Facebook turns them over to the cops.
And, oh, absolutely. But, like, as it is right now, like, all of these big, massive companies, like, trying to find a method of contacting a real person is pretty much impossible. And, like, to report this kind of stuff, it's not all that easy. So, you know, like, I definitely think there's a lot of room for improvement. I think they're kind of overstepping their bounds with, like, finding individuals working for the company for $5 million. Yeah, that's a little bit €5 million. That's a little bit too fucking much. But these big companies, like, really have some room for improvement. I don't know if they need...
doesn't mean you need a law necessarily.
Well, you know, they've been around for a long fucking time and shit still sucks. So, you know, maybe they do need a bit of a nudge, but this is
I don't think they're having an issue with people not, you know, reporting child porn. They're mentioning hate speech, and in Germany at least, Marie Le Pen, this is happening in Europe just because her, it's illegal under their laws to state things that are factual, even if they're offensive, such as bringing in lots of third world immigrants is bankrupting us. That's considered hate speech in Europe. She's being fined for that. It's not libelous. It's not slanderous. It's arguably whether or not you want to do that. But I'm seeing this is what that law is going to be used for. It's not we're going after with people that disagree with us.
And like, that's a whole other can of worms. You know, like, I think that, like, okay, yeah, that's a little bit,
whatever you're throwing hate speech,
a little bit too much.
Hate speech, the reason it's not legally defined is hate speech is anything you don't like at the time. There's already libel laws in Europe to cover this. There's already anti-child pornography laws to cover this. So,
you know,
all
like,
of the really good things, I'm not seeing an issue because they're already covered somewhere else.
Like, in Canada, for example, like, saying illegal immigrants are bankrupting the country wouldn't be considered hate speech. Like, hate speech is literally defined, I don't have the exact legal definition, but it's somewhere along the lines of, like, inciting violence towards a specific group. So if you go out and say, we should go kill all the fucking niggers, that is hate speech. But, like,
there's a sound clip.
Well, no, but, like,
I need a time code on this.
Okay, disclaimer here, this does not represent my own personal viewpoints. I'm using this as an example.
We need another time code there, because that's two separate sound clips that we can have fun with.
Dig up, Major, dig up. If I was CNN, man, you are fucking Hitler right now.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. But like, I'm just saying, like,
I know, we know,
you know, like, there's some pretty broad definitions of hate speech out there, and I think that there's a little bit too many butthurt people who are way too easily offended and are able to implement laws somehow. But yeah, like, that I feel like that's kind of distracting from the main issue of, like, yeah, if you find illegal content, that shit should be able to be addressed. And right now, there aren't good avenues for that.
And I just don't think your offensiveness, like, you being offended, should make it illegal.
Oh, absolutely. And in a reasonable legal system, that isn't illegal.
Yeah. But madness either way. So, two madness stories.
Anyways, were you wanting to get something in there, Madman, before we moved on to this Microsoft article?
Oh, no, I was just going with if they're having trouble reporting uses of your child porn on social media, they can implement I'm cool with, like, a phone number or some shit, but this law, It's so broad, it's not meant for stopping anything that they're already attempting to stop. The libel laws are already good enough.
No, this is a pure censorship law. This is, you disagree with this politically, we want to shut you down.
Yeah.
So.
And I just want to interject, I just got a message from Laser. He has the clip.
Thank you for working with us, Laser.
Your $25 euro check is in the mail. Do not cash it till 2030.
All right, so this next one up is from Microsoft's, actually it's a support article. So if you have built a new PC and put Windows 7 or Windows 8 on it, and you try to check for updates, there's a new error message that comes up. So these are latest versions of Intel chips and of course the AMD Ryzen chip, which actually I just saw they released the Ryzen 5 for like $150 and it looks like a decent chip too. So I'm hoping to see Ryzen really get Intel, you know, competitive again, so the chips aren't $1,000 for the top end processors. Anyways, but I digress. So the error message is your PC uses a processor that isn't supported on this version of Windows. So when you try to scan or download updates to Windows Update, you get the follow message: your PC uses a processor that's not supported by this version of Windows, and you won't receive updates. This occurs because new processor generations require the latest Windows version for support. For example, Windows 10 is the only Windows version that supports, Intel 7th generation processors, AMD Bristol Ridge, and the Qualcomm 8996. Because of how the support policy is implemented, Windows 8.1 and Windows 7 devices that have a 7th generation or later generation processor may no longer be able to scan or download updates to Windows Update or Microsoft Update. Their recommendation, or the resolution, is to install Windows 10. Yeah.
Fuck you, Microsoft. Fuck you right in the ass.
I mean, okay. They're doing fucking ads for OneDrive and Office 365 right in the File Explorer now. And if you're running modern hardware, they're going to go nuts until you install Windows 10. And once you do put Windows 10 in, they get so many hooks into the system, it's not even funny. As soon as more games start supporting Vulkan, and Wine just released a bunch of patches for DirectX 11, I think you're going to start getting a lot of people moving over to Linux.
Look, I don't mind getting in the ass, Microsoft, but give me a reach around once in a while. Come on.
You know what the sad truth is? You're not really going to see the mass migration to Linux that everybody expects. It's not going to happen.
No, I know. It's not going to happen. But just give me a reach around once in a while.
Bend over and take it.
I'm not asking much. Reach around once in a while. Let me disable the ads. Come on.
I just want to tickle my balls.
It's going to have to get pretty egregious before it really takes off. Although, if Wine or React OS ever gets really up there, yeah. I mean, Wine's good as it is. Don't misunderstand. It's just usually lagging a couple of years. So, I don't know. Usually when a really popular game comes out that a lot of people want to run on Wine, they'll get it within a couple of months. But, yeah. I don't know.
You know, like, I feel like it's just going to take more time. You know, the open source community definitely develops things a lot slower than actual company making money
that's,
off of that sort
that's
of stuff.
Not true. That's not true. They don't develop the same things. So,
well, okay,
server
you're absolutely right.
Programming languages,
DevOps. You're absolutely right. Yeah, I totally misspoke on that.
Yeah. Now, if you're talking about parity with desktop apps, yeah, some of that stuff's pretty slow.
Yeah, and like, there's reasons for that, because generally the people who are making this software are making it for other computer nerds, so they're not really focusing that much on usability or user-friendliness or anything like that. So it kind of dissuades your average computer user from making that leap. Because, yeah, like, there's tons of awesome free software and stuff like that you can get, like, in the open-source community for Linux, everything like that, but it's not exactly, like, user-friendly. It's not like it's going to be a good match for like your grandma or something like that.
Put family members on, well, this is before they changed up and back when they were still using GNOME 2 or what you would today call Mate. I put family members on Ubuntu. We're fine.
Oh yeah, but like, you know, like, just like a specific example. I had some Hutterites. They're they don't have the internet, but a couple of them have laptops. And they asked me to go get them some mapping software, because they like having like the functionality of like Google Maps, but they don't have internet. So, I had a look around at all of like the open source options out there, and there was a couple that had like you could go get like the OpenStreetMaps and go load them into this software, and then you could get this routing database and set that up and like get everything going. But like there was no like user friendly option for that sort of thing. Like I probably spent a good like 8 hours researching this, and I couldn't find a single really user friendly option. And that's just like one example. You know, you could go into all the graphical editing stuff or all that other sort of stuff, and none of it is quite as user friendly. Nobody who's developing open source software is going to go to put together like a version of like PrintArtist or Printmaster Gold or whatever you know those like super simple wizard based like publishing software, because it's too limited and you can't really like be super productive. But that's the sort of stuff like that your average user wants to use. So there's this kind of mismatch between the people putting this stuff together and like what your average user needs.
Mm-hmm. I want to make the comment of you need more hardcore Amish in Canada.
I won't disagree with you.
So, I don't know, man. I mean, it's just like, you know, for everything but desktop use, Linux blows everything out of the water. I mean, servers, DevOps, development. I mean, it's crazy how much it runs. Hell, Android phones.
Oh, yeah.
But, And hell, even iOS is a forked version of BSD, but
I'm not disagreeing with you on any of that. It's just Linux is awesome for somebody who knows what they're doing.
It's just falling behind on what I want it to do, which is I want it to replace fucking Windows for my video. I think I can even get Netflix to work on it.
All right, man. While we're both bent over, you just look me in the eyes. I'll look you in the eyes, and we'll dream it's not really happening.
Okay.
So. All right, moving on. Next one. This is fairly interesting. Yesterday, Dropbox, again, Ides of March, disabled the public folder in all free Dropbox accounts.
Hmm.
So you can still share files, but you have to kind of do it through their interface and go create a link, a sharing link to the individual files. You can't just dump stuff in a public folder and have it accessible. If you're paying for Dropbox, you have until September 1st and still having the public folder working. And they're basically disabling rendering web pages out of the Dropbox public folder entirely. They're just dropping that. Uh-huh. Not gonna do
Is it
anymore.
Too much of a liability?
I imagine, because there's bandwidth limits in place on the share links. So if your account hits 20 gigs a day if you're free, or 200 gigs a day if you pay for your account, they cut you off. They just kill your public links.
20 gigs a day for free?
Yeah, it's pretty big, man. Eh?
Yeah, it's like that's... honestly, I don't blame them for cutting that. That's kind of almost obscene for free. Like,
well, man. They've got people abusing them to share movies.
Well,
why
not? Free 20 gigs of bandwidth a day? Why the hell not?
Yeah, I think you can only put a couple of gig in a free account, though. Like two gig or something like that in a free account.
How many floppy disks does Mystery Men fit on? We'll have to do some math here. I think we get some movies into a couple gig.
Yeah, you can. I'm not arguing with you. It's interesting, and you can still share, but you have to go make public links and share the links. You can't just share the folder link.
Okay.
Cycross is saying they were forced to take it down by lawsuit. Well, I don't doubt it. DMCA. So. I just saw the help article was updated, and a lot of people complaining that the Dropbox links quit working.
I think they're trying to get rid of anything that keeps anything anonymized. They're trying to get rid of.
What, Cycross? He's making my screen flash with messages.
Abort.
I think at the end of the day, like, there's a rumor going around that YouTube's going to be doing like an age limit structure, so it won't be too long before you have to sign in with a real name and address to actually visit YouTube and shit like that. Anonymous site is going away.
Google somehow linked me to YouTube's. They know who I am.
Oh, I see what Cykros was trying to tell me. He was saying, no, no, I'm... he was talking with Soylent Bomb, and the lawsuit he was talking about was the thing we opened the show with. He's like, abort, that's not what we're talking about. We're not keeping up with the show, we're arguing with each other.
Nice.
Fair enough.
Okay. And if it was a 3D interactive thing for our crowd to be in, you know, it would just be us sitting in the middle with a gladiator pit, and they could just argue around us as we watch them. That'd be great.
Damn it, Artie, you know I miss Second Life.
I'm still finding stories, if you haven't noticed.
Yeah, I noticed.
Sorry about that.
I've been so busy with work the past couple of weeks, I haven't had a chance to really mine for stories, so I'm like collecting them an hour before the show.
Yeah, I've been lying on the floor half dead in a feverish state. That's why I've just sort of come around now.
Gattaca? I'm seeing Gattaca here.
There's two good ones in there. I don't know if you want to cover any, Ian. But I just thought, you know, following the robot uprising there, that was a pretty good story, the first one, and then the Gattaca story. But depending on what else you had for the show, sorry, didn't mean to hijack.
No, you're fine. Actually, you know what? Let me look at this Gattaca story real quick. Employers could demand genetic testing under new congressional bill. Okay, we're going to replace the Twitter story with that because everybody knows Twitter's mostly bots these days.
Oh, but I really want to let loose, I don't know, a few dozen just little girl bots on Twitter and see how long it turns them to be Nazis.
Okay, for that point, I'm definitely replacing the fucking Twitter story with the Gattaca story. Just because Madman just creeped me out like nobody's business.
I think this is mainly an American thing, though, isn't it? From what I'm looking at this story, I think this, because of your backwards fucking Allahu snack bar style of healthcare, that's
yeah, like,
why
it's not like the U.S. is really known for its employee protections for a lot of stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, before we do that article, I want to do this one. This is from the Register, and it's hilarious. The judge has issued a search warrant for anyone who Googled a victim's name in the entire U.S. in an entire U.S. town.
Oh God!
What?
We play. Look who got busted.
Yep.
We're gonna die.
Fuck, Madman. Good luck, shit, mate. At least I'm here in Australia. They can't. Oh, fuck, they can. Extradition.
A U.S. judge has granted cops a search warrant to direct Google to provide personal details about anyone searching for a specific name in the town of Edna, Minnesota. Tony Webster?
Hold on. I just want to interject here. That is a super shitty headline. Considering they say issues a search warrant for anyone who Googled a victim's name. No, it is a search warrant for Google to give the name of anybody who searched a name. It's not a search warrant for the people specifically.
No, they want to know who they were.
Google. Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to point that out.
Bad grammar.
Well, it's not like journalists actually, you know, have to, you know how to do proper English anymore. Fuck, how many errors have... So, between you and me doing I Have Nothing in this show, how many fucked up articles where it's just they can't write have we had to read?
English.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
English, and also, motherfucker, do you speak it?
Ooh.
Most of the headlines now, again, are vastly misleading compared to the article.
Tony Webster, who describes himself as a web engineer... A public records researcher and policy nerd published a portion of the warrant out of concern that administrative subpoenas and search warrant are being used for what amounts to fishing expeditions. Under the Fourth Amendment, search and seizures must be reasonable and, as such, are generally limited in their scope to balance privacy expectations. At issue is whether or not a warrant for Google account data of anyone searching for a given term is unconstitutionally broad. Hint, yes it is. Because, one, good luck identifying all these people. Two, people search weird shit, man.
There are home circumcision kits. I want the world to know this.
You know, like, I feel practice. Like it may be useful for locating a suspect. You know, like, it's not a huge city. If, let's say, somebody died on a Thursday and somebody Googled their name on, like, Thursday morning, like before they were murdered, that may be indicative of something, and it may warrant additional scrutiny on that individual. I don't
We think we have ourselves here a murder. I need Google to issue me a list of everybody who Googled yesterday how to hide a body.
I don't think that's unreasonable.
I do. How many people research this shit for writing articles or for writing stories or because they're running absolutely. A D&D game?
But like, this isn't because like they wanted people to hear getting serious arrested. Responses. But yeah. This isn't people getting arrested for searching this. This is just them getting their name. It's like one piece of evidence. You'd never be able to build a case against somebody for just that one piece of information. But maybe you found that they also ended up searching for, you know, fucking like, oh, this person's name, I hate this person, how to kill this person, fucking whatever.
Where do I find industrial amounts of lie?
Stupid example. yeah, exactly. Like, there could be more to it. So, like, you know, the whole law, like, investigative...
Siri, what are the nearby pig farms?
Nearby pig farms, Siri. Pig farms.
Let's see what
yeah, like,
saying,
the
Major.
Whole investigative process, like, it involves gathering a large amount of data.
Normally... You generally know who killed you unless you're involved in a gang killing, and then they at least know what gang's more responsible for killing you. They can go with who does this person know and have a better pool than everyone in a town that Googled a name, especially if the name is, I don't know, Bob or something very common like John.
I think we're speculating on a aspect.
Yeah, let me get a little farther in the article here. According to the warrant, seen in full by the Register, the case involves bank fraud in which an unknown party used a victim's name to wire $28,500 from Spire Credit Union to Bank of America. The credit union relied on a faxed copy of the victim's passport to verify the transaction, but the document was faked. I would play the dramatic music, but I don't feel like making the joke. The search warrant, filed by Edna Police Detective David Lidman, said that when investigators searched Google Images for the victim's name, they found the photo used to make the fake passport. So the cops did it. They Googled the guy's name when he died. An image of someone who resembled the victim but was not the same person. This led police to believe that the person responsible searched Google for the victim's name. Searches of Bing and Yahoo did not produce results, the warrant said. Reached by phone, Edna Police Lieutenant Timothy Olson told the Register an earlier report that investigators had sought the Google searches of everyone in Edna was blatantly inaccurate. Olson declined to discuss what he characterized as an active case and said the warrant was related to a felony that had been reported and it outlined probable cause. The warrant asked for Google user information related to Google searches of the victim's name, qualified by location, specifically the city or township of Edna County of Hennepin, state of Minnesota. And it has a population of about 50,000.
That actually even makes it more reasonable in my view. Like, if they already had information that indicated that they were doing a lot of internet sleuthing on this individual,
I kind of want to Google this person's name, which is why it's not in the article.
Yeah, but like, they've already been killed and this information is already out there. So they're not looking for anybody who searched for their name after the fact. They're looking for somebody who searched up all their information before the fact.
Warrant seeks any and all subscriber information related to the Google searches of four variants of the victim's name over a five-week period from December 1, 2016 through January 7, 2017. Describes the information sought as including but not limited to name, address, telephone, date of birth, social security number, email address, payment information, account information, IP address, and MAC addresses of person who... requested completed the search. According to the warrant, Google rejected administrative subpoena from the court. Though Google Inc.'s rejection of the administrative subpoena is arguable, the warrant states that the police department is applying for the search warrant so that the investigation of this case does not stall. Google may not cooperate. The Internet King has an interest in fending off overreaching governments and police to avoid becoming a on-demand data dispensary. We aren't able to comment on specific cases, but we always push back when we receive excessively broad requests for data about our users. Said a Google spokesperson to the Register. So, I don't know. Personally, I think it's a touch on the broad side, but if that's the only lead you have to go on is, oh, well, we think they may have Googled this person's name to get a photo? I don't know, man.
I don't know. I think it does This could be like an advertising thing for Google, because apparently they can get more information on you than Bing or Yahoo.
Actually, no, I didn't use Google for that last search that I did. Couldn't get anything.
We're not mentioning that. We are not culpable with anything you're doing to this poor, horrible woman that should be drug out the street shot.
All right, now not let's that see the gas article. But we'd certainly watch and, you know, have popcorn.
Possibly.
All right, so now let's do the Gattaca article. Get ready to open up and say, workers participating in... Feel better?
Yeah.
Good. Workers participating in so-called workplace wellness programs reportedly could be ordered to get genetic testing and hand over the results by their employers or face financial penalties. If a bill being pushed by congressional Republicans becomes law. That bill, passed by a House committee Wednesday, could end up as part of the second phase of the planned Obamacare replacement legislation, the Stat Healthcare News site reported Friday. What this bill would do is completely take away the protection of existing laws. Jennifer Mathis, Director of Policy and Legal Advocacy at the Blazin Center for Mental Health Law, told Stat. The conservative controversy resolves around the disputes over the meaning of a 2008 federal law, the Genetic Information Non-Discrimination Act, as well as over administrative interpretations of the Affordable Care Act and the Americans with Disabilities Act. GINA, opponents of the new bill say, as a rule, bars employers from insisting on genetic testing of their workers, except if that testing is offered as part of a wellness program and is voluntary on the part of the worker. But the new bill, sponsored by Representative Virginia Fox, Republican NC, if passed into law, would make it clear... Oh, North Carolina. Duh. If passed into law, would make it clear that employers who offered wellness programs and required genetic testing as part of them can legally charge workers who refuse to take the tests a higher price for health insurance than workers who accept the test. Wellness programs whose efficacy has been challenged are intended to improve employee health by methods including screening for medical conditions and promoting smoking cessation. Affordable Care Act allows employers to charge workers at least 30% and up to 50% more for job-based health insurance if the employer chooses not to participate in a wellness program. Fox's office referred to a request for comment on the bill to the House Committee on Education and Workforce when contacted by CNBC, Fox's chairwoman of that committee. A committee spokesperson said those who are opposed to the bill are spreading false information in a desperate attempt to deny employees the choice to participate in a voluntary program that could reduce health insurance costs and encourage healthy lifestyle choices. Excuse me. Thank you. We believe families should be empowered with that choice, and so did the Obama administration. It's another sad reminder of how extreme the Democrat Party... Okay, and it's turning in politics. So, I think this is not necessarily the healthcare law says, your boss can ask you for your genes, and it's more just kind of an interaction of a whole bunch of laws on the government meddling, and you know, they've came up with a scenario where employers can do genetic testing.
Well, can I ask the senator of the fine state of, where was it?
North Carolina,
to disclose the companies that were lobbying on behalf of this bill.
Now that would be an interesting list, wouldn't it?
Yeah, because really, I'm looking this guy... Ooh, I've got about 14 hammers here, and I'm thinking if we have it a Jeopardy competition, my hammers are going to beat him.
I'm just thinking saying. It's going to be Aetna, Blue Cross and Blue Shield. Yep, those two.
I like Iron Angel's comment. You must be at least 7% alien to work at this facility.
Well, it's the one here that they're pushing on the TV all the time. Get your ancestry test. Send your DNA test to this company and find out how much of what you are. I'm like, seriously? They're offering this kit for free, and all you have to do is hand over your DNA.
They can clone you if you happen to be a mutant.
Yeah.
I saw Logan. This is the plan. That if you happen to be a mutant, they want to be able to clone you after they start introducing the genetically modified food.
Hey, spoilers.
You're calling spoilers on a comic book movie that they based the comics off of something like 12 years ago or something?
You gotta remember, man, there's some fucking 15-year-olds around that are into this shit now who didn't have a chance to read 20 years of back catalog.
I didn't think it surprised anyone that X-23 was a clone. Really?
Oh God, you wrecked it for me.
Good.
But honestly, though, like stuff like this is what have it would stop me from using services like 23andMe and stuff like that. Yeah. Like I honestly, like I am super gung ho about all of the modern medicine that they've developed and all these cool things you can do with the human genome.
Oh, have you looked at the gene editing, which is amazing? And
CRISPR.
Congress would get the fuck out of the way of CRISPR.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, laws can change. And if your genes are on record, all of a sudden you could be open to all kinds of fucked up shit.
Yep.
Like, let alone getting out of the way of CRISPR, CRISPR can fix me. It can make me better, smarter, faster, less fat. It'll be great.
Laser vision? Can you get laser vision? Because that's what I want.
I don't know about laser vision, but regenerative healing powers, superhuman intellect, the ability to bench press small cars, possibly.
I can tell you right now.
They could definitely make you go in the dark. I know they can do that.
Okay, Morps, right now, definitively, within this weekend, I can give you laser vision. Okay, step one, get in your car, drive over to Laser's place.
Okay.
Step two, blindfold yourself, put a collar around Laser, walk around the street, get Laser to tell you what he's seeing, you have laser vision. Fucking done.
I'll give I'm opening a company. If you can get me a picture of Laser wearing a studded dog collar.
I'm opening a company, Laser Vision and me. You come to me, I'll give you laser vision for a weekend. Guaranteed, Laser's going to lose some weight, I'm going to make some money, and you get vision.
He's my seeing eye human. He gets to come to the movies for free.
Exactly.
You don't want to discriminate against me, Americans with Disabilities Act. I'll fucking sue your ass.
That's like the quote of the evening. My seeing eye human.
The only problem with laser vision, if you add a bit of alcohol to laser, the vision gets a little blurry.
And poor Laser, it doesn't really take that much.
Anyway.
All right. Last article for tonight is from Tech Dirt. Court says the FBI does not have to hand over its rules for surveilling domestic journalists.
Madman just had a little bit of pee coming out.
Can they sell it to everyone else? That will get rid of our national debt.
A couple of years ago, the Freedom of the Press Foundation sued the DOJ over its refusal to release its secret rules governing spying on the nation's journalists. This was prompted by revelation the FBI had used the national security letters to obtain information on AP and Fox News journalists. Then the DOJ then issued new rules on the do's and don'ts of surveilling journalists, but once again redacted them into uselessness and granted the FBI an NSL exception. Undercutting the entire point of the recrafted rules. So they wrote new rules, and one of the new rules was the FBI doesn't have to follow these. The OIG report, in which the Inspector General disputed the DOJ's extensive redactions, still has yet to be released in a less redacted form, sadly, and now it appears that will never be any less redacted than the unintelligible mess the DOJ handed over a few years ago. I imagine it was an entire book of pages covered in Sharpie. Like, you occasionally would see, like, I don't know, a random word that didn't seem to make sense. Like, you know, Bowie knife.
I, for one, am shocked by the fact that the U.S. government is spying on people within the country. This is something that I never suspected and never would have ever considered without hearing about this news article.
What a brutal shock it was.
Yes. A federal judge has sided with the government, finding its investigative techniques and methods are too sensitive to hand over to the public, much less journalists that may or may not have surveilled using national security letters. Underlying everything is the government's barely contested assertion that these rules contain information of national security interest. It's a handy assertion because it means the DOJ doesn't even have to explain why the redactions it made are relevant to its national security claims. from the opinion, recognizing the court's limited institutional expertise on intelligence matters, the court accords substantial weight to Hardy's representation that any greater specificity in the descriptions and justifications could reasonably be expected to jeopardize the national security of the United States. In the area of national security, it is conceivable that a mere explanation of why information must be withheld can convey valuable information to a foreign intelligence agency. Same argument appears later, and I don't need to read it. The court is also interested in double-checking the DOJ's security assertions. As always, the court has the option to review contested documents behind closed doors and away from plaintiffs to see if the government's claims to national security investigative concerns are valid. The court declined to exercise this privilege. The court finds that in-camera review is unnecessary here, as defendant already provided sufficiently detailed factual information in support of its exemptions in the Hardy declarations and Vaughn Index. The FBI is still free to use NSLs to obtain information, including call records about journalists. The DOJ may have reined in other options, but NSLs have always been the FBI's go-to form when it's stymied by the FISA court, magistrate judges, or international guidelines. Nothing about that will change. What's actually changed at the DOJ is the result of the public outing of journalist surveillance. The public apparently can't be trusted with this information.
Oh, fuck.
And they actually have the court document here. Tech Dirt is so hit and miss, man. They're so political that half the time I don't like using them as a source, but they at least have the court document, you know, right here in the article. So I gotta give them props for that. But, I really just wanted to do that article for the reaction. It's like, kind of, yeah, duh, they're spying on people. But anyways.
Wow.
Any thoughts before we hit Dojo and wrap up?
No, that's kind of soul crushing there. Yo!
Hadouken! All right.
So it really was not. Every time you play that, I want to play Street Fighter.
Well, see if I can get the right spot for you.
Go off.
There you go. I probably should have muted the thing before I backscrubbed the track, but whatever. So. Last thing I have for Digital Dojo tonight. Cycross, well, this is the version that says "Me love you long time." Let's see if I can dig that up. No, I should read that. Say what?
Didn't we dump that version?
I've got it somewhere. I'm sure. I gotta dig it up. Let's see. Data drive G15.
I think there's a version somewhere where it's just us making really bad 1950s samurai movie noises too.
There is, but it's in one of the shows. We'd have to go cut it out.
Sounds like a plan.
Digital Dojo 2 old, 1 new. I don't know which one it is.
Only one way to find out.
Yeah, he wanted to use decking in his class and we're too fucking racist. That was amazing.
Anyway, let's finish the show, find it after the show.
This might
be giving us the wrap up.
All right. So this is from the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory. Physicists declassified rescued nuclear test films. The U.S. conducted 210 atmospheric nuclear tests between 1945 and 1962, with multiple cameras capturing each event around 2,400 frames per second. But in the decades since, around 10,000 of these films sat idle, scattered across the country in high-security vaults. Not only were they gathering dust, but the film material itself was slowly decomposing, bringing the data they contained to the brink of being lost forever. For the past 5 years, the Lawrence Livermore National Laboratory, weapon physicist Greg Spriggs, and a crack team of film experts, archivists, and software developers have been on a mission to hunt down, scan, reanalyze, and declassify these decomposing films. The goals are to preserve the film's content before it's lost forever and provide better data to the post-testing era scientists who use computer codes to help certify that aging U.S. nuclear deterrent remains safe, secure, and effective. To date, the team has located around 6,500 of the estimated 10,000 films created during atmospheric testing. Around 4,200 of the films have been scanned, 400 to 500 have been reanalyzed, and around 750 have been declassified. An initial set of these declassified films, tests conducted by LLNL, were published today on the LLNL YouTube playlist. So they have literally put a whole bunch of nuclear test footage up on YouTube.
Already started watching.
Yeah, so if you're into VFX or you just really like watching explosions, this is awesome stuff.
Oh man, some of these places I really want a holiday now. Like, they're just beautiful beaches, man.
Oh yeah, Bikini Atoll was great until it was, you know, nuked.
They built
an automated system to go through and scrub these videos, but they're posting them on YouTube, which is awesome.
This is awesome, man. Thank you to those guys who actually put the time and effort in and then gave it away for free.
God forbid somebody who's deaf decides to get it pulled down. But
yeah, this is what I mean.
The nuclear explosion have subtitles. Boo.
I will fucking go through here and subtitle this for free. Fucking boom, bitch. Fucking boom again. Boom on your ass.
Dude, I just love some of the names of the projects.
Yeah, oh, Project man. Some Diablo. Of these are like underwater. I'm seeing nuclear explosions I've never seen before.
Yeah, so am I, man. Lots this is fascinating.
This is super fucking cool.
Oh, yeah, check this out, guys.
Nuclear bomb under a flotilla. Aircraft carriers can fly if you have enough megatons going off of them.
Well, isn't there a theory of spacecraft based on nuclear explosions underneath it?
Underneath it, more like a nuclear-powered spacecraft.
No, there's one where it's a plate detonation behind the ship. I think Major told me about it.
Or are you talking about the one where they launched that metal plate, like, out of orbit?
The one with the spacecraft they were going to power by setting off small nuclear explosions behind
Project Orion.
That's the one. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
I'm still holding out hope one day. Launching cruise liners into orbit.
All right, let's see if this is the right one.
Me love you long time.
God, that's old.
That would be it.
Yeah, that's the stuff.
Dude, are you watching the Diablo explosion? That is weird. Like, it just sort of has all these breasts coming off it. It doesn't mushroom up.
Oh yeah, that
it has all these clumps.
It looks like it's underwater.
Oh, Diablo okay.
Explosion. That's my guess.
You used to use the wrong year, dude. Well, for a while, nobody got the joke of the wrong year. I was looking up events that happened on this day in history and was stating the year of the event. So, you know, I had the anniversary of, like, D-Day or something. And so we were saying, like, 1945 or...
But you only changed that since you changed the intro, if anyone's noticed. In the last 4 weeks, the intro has changed from police state to... cyberpunk future. And that's when you started it.
I think. No, I think I've been doing the year accurately for like 6 months now.
Okay. But I've noticed you changed the intro about 4 weeks ago.
I did, yeah. Because, I mean, yeah, it's not. It's living in a cyberpunk world is more than just a police state. I mean, yeah, it's a police state, but, you know, you have people literally getting arrested for doing shit online and, oh, wait, that's happening. And, you know, they're having corporate wars over people posting shit on YouTube, and
you've got a terrorist organization who have now decided to start bombing the IMF.
So, I mean, it's Gibson was right, man. I don't think he meant to be, but Gibson was fucking right. He just was off on the numbers when he was talking about technology. So,
yeah. No, I truly believe it, man. The whole anonymity thing on the internet's coming to an end. I think just being able to pick and choose your hardware to build your own computer is going to come to an end. That you're going to have to like license some registration before buying that chip.
If you're not using a lockdown monitored system, you're going to have a license in the next 10 years. I guarantee it.
Yeah, I think so too. And that's when I go farm punk. Fuck it. Just old tech, man.
It's like, unless you want... Yeah, because it'll all be grandfathered in, but it's like, oh, I see you are using a development kit. You can actually write code? Yeah, I'm going to need to see your computer operator's license. Oh, you don't have one. Off to jail with you, hacker. You know, that's how that shit's going to go down, man.
I look at Europe, man. It's imploding quicker than you post a sticker. I mean, the simple fact that you're seeing the IMF being letter-bombed now. Yeah, it was a very small bomb, but there are certain countries out there are really pissed off that the IMF actually owns their country.
Yeah.
You know, that the IMF actually owns the country. Think about that. Greece is owned by the IMF. Ireland is owned by the IMF.
When you go out and about, everyone is staring at a screen. Everyone. Yeah, I don't know when I started noticing this, but I'm sure it happened before I started noticing.
I love it, Morps. It makes me be able to move around so much easier. You know, you can duck into that side door. You can follow someone through a man trap. No one even notices anymore.
I mean, they might as well be have cyber decks and the jack in the back of the head for their way. They're just staring at the screen. They're oblivious to the world around them. Everybody, well, not just kids. I mean, adults.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, we had the article where was it a city in Germany? No, it was Netherlands.
Sweden.
A city in was it Sweden?
I think it was Sweden.
Sweden was putting their sidewalk sign or the walk, don't walk lights in the road because everybody was staring at the fucking phone and couldn't be bothered to look up and see if a car's coming.
I'm going to stick this on the ground so fewer people walk into traffic.
That's when I made the decision. Okay, we're in cyberpunk, man. I mean, it's here. So.
Holy fuck, how did they not ignite the atmosphere with this one?
Yeah, lots of cyber, not so much punk.
That's kind of true. That's a fair point.
Do they put a second sun in the sky?
A couple of those ones where they go behind the
atmospheric
clouds and stuff.
Detonation?
Oh yeah, they did
weather balloon high altitude detonations, dude.
Yeah, like, how did they not burn the atmosphere off?
I think it's a little harder to ignite the atmosphere than they let on.
Yeah,
well, that was one of those things, kind of like how they all the news agencies said that the Large Hadron Collider was going to start a black hole that was going to consume the planet.
Man, the
but really,
six
it's
scientists...
just fancy reporting. I bet you anything that was the same thing with the nukes. They're like, oh god, it might fucking ignite the atmosphere. Like,
okay,
fucking
so you...
scaremongering news bullshit.
Dude, you're doing the Manhattan Project. You're in that six people that came up with this whole thing of, you know, busting the atom. And just deciding whether we should or shouldn't. You know it's going to be big, but you just don't know how big.
But that's the thing, hey, because like somebody was going to do it regardless.
Exactly.
They didn't have the choice.
Dare to dream, man. Fuck ask permission. Apologize. You know, that's what science should be. Fuck permissions. Apologize if it fucks up.
This Operation Dominic video you posted. And remember, they said these things are at 2,400 frames a second. So, you know, when you're, a minute and a half into the video, that's like a second of real time.
Yeah.
The explosion is behind a cloud. That's how far away it is. It's behind a fucking cloud, but it's washing out the camera lens. It's so bright.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Can you link this whole, like, that link I put in of the whole lot of the videos into the show notes?
I can do that.
Because I'm pretty sure if anyone listens to a show like this, they're gonna like shit like this. And
here, let me throw that in the IRC
like,
as well.
This is probably like the coolest link I've seen in the last 6 months.
Yeah, this is a good couple of hours of YouTube.
Not only that,
if
you need like images or video clips for making projects, these things are gonna be fantastic sources.
I bet some of these are gonna be in color.
They're not that hard to colorize.
Oh no, it's not colorize. The weapons tests in World War II, and then some of the World War II footage was the first color film ever shot.
I'm actually skipping through. There are some in color. Operation Hardtack.
I love the names. Operation Teapot. There's Hardtack.
The Operation Plumb Bob, that's the one you were talking about, are you, with the weird fingers and stuff. I feel like Plumb Bob, that's a water term, isn't it?
I think so. Well, Plumb Bob is it's a lead-lined a base lead, and you put it in a tripod, and it finds the center, like direct, straight down. So a plumb bob is a complete straight line from a point in space, straight down. That's how you use a plumb bob for that. So if you've got a mark on the ceiling, yeah, if you've got a mark on the ceiling, right, and this is why I use a plumb bob when I was tiling. If I do ceiling tiles up, like they want some sort of feature on a ceiling, I need to work out how it's going to correspond on the floor. So you draw it up on the ceiling, then take your center point, drop the plumb bob down, mark it onto the floor, and that's giving you an exact direct representation on where it is without having to use measurements. Gotcha. So you're not. It's just a way of plotting points in, from one space point to another directly straight down.
And that, so I think
it's a vertical laser level. Gotcha.
I think we're hitting like an hour 45 minutes at this point. So yeah, why don't we wrap up here?
Yeah, but yeah, plumb bobs.
Plumb bobs.
And explosions.
Exploding plumb bobs. So listen to the stream. Always working on it. Pure Decking is every Thursday or as best we can. The Galaxy 15 radio site, we did recently redo it, and now it's a gateway to the IRC and the stream. Twitter handle, which I haven't updated. This list is old. Just go to the subreddit. That's probably the easiest way to get a hold of me if you need to, or the IRC. I was working on an IRC bot earlier, and I'm probably just going to leave the screen session signed in from now on since people are starting to get in the IRC again. So that's all I've got. Anybody got anything they want to throw out before I hit the Pac-Man sound here?
Domino's pizza boxes are becoming slightly more combustible over time.
No. And anyone's curious, a man was buried under 6 metric tons of pornography. Analog pornography. Just quantify that in your head. 6 metric tons of pornography.
I don't know. I think I would be more impressed with being buried with that many tons of digital.
I don't know, man. Hard drives can be pretty heavy when you start getting them in bulk.
True.
But now, here's the question. 600 tons of analog pornography, were they all unique issues, or did he have duplicates?
I don't know, and I don't really care. Just go look it up if you're interested. Well, go look this story up.
It would be a good idea.
I'm pretty sure they didn't get that much detail.
Yeah. Anyway. Rocket Sam.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.